Well, well, well. It's a new year, new preacher for you guys, new church for us.
We're excited. We have been through the emotional roller coaster of sadness on one end and excitement on the other. And it's been interesting for both of us, Althea and myself. And we've been nearly 20 years over at Fair Park. And it's hard to leave a people that you love. But when God calls you to obey, you need to obey, as difficult as it may be. And we're so grateful that we can be here today with you folks. It took a while for us to get here, but you had some good men that were filling in. Brother Willie Weaver always does a fantastic job. He's a very gracious and kind man and a good preacher. Brother Dan Knickerbocker, you had him last year to close out the year with, and he's always a joyful and upbeat and exciting, and him and I get along pretty good, and we do a lot of things together, actually us as a foursome. And so we're glad to be here. Now, you guys might not be glad to have us here, but you're the ones that voted, so you're stuck now, all right? But we're glad to be a part of this work, and we're just excited about what God's going to do in 2020, because I think He's going to get us off to a good, fast start. But I want you to take and open up your Bibles this morning and Acts chapter 14. I love the book of Acts, one of my favorite books in the New Testament. And there's so much that happens there. And it's all because of God's people praying. When God's people pray, God's hand moves and does great and mighty things. And I'm excited about what God wants to do here at Regency. We're going to talk here this morning that we're in the year 2020. I keep saying that sounds kind of futuristic, but it really does to me. I was born in 1958, so that sounds like that was a long time ago, you know. And to some of you, it might not seem like a long time ago either. But I want to talk about 2020, a year of opportunity to build. You see, we are given opportunities by God to do things for His glory. You see, there's going to come a time when we won't be able to... Night cometh, the Bible says. Night cometh when no man can work. There's coming a day when you and I cannot do anything for the Lord down here that will impact heaven later. But we have opportunity right now. Young, old, male, female, God's no respecter of persons. He saved us all by His grace through the same precious blood. And He has a plan and a purpose and a program for each one of us individually, as a family, and as a local assembly to do together as laborers together with God. He's a part of the plan, amen, for His glory. So I want you to consider 2020 a year of opportunity to build. And I want you to consider a question before I read here in Acts 14. I want you to consider this question for this year. What would you, and this is individual question, what would you attempt for God in 2020 if you knew you could not fail? If you knew that you would not fail God, that He would give you the ability and the outcome, what would you attempt for God in 2020? Have you ever thought about that before? What would I do for God if I wouldn't fail? Acts chapter 14, let me read to you some of the setting and then we'll get into the message here. In verse number 8, Paul is busy ministering. And it says here in verse number 8, "And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb." He was born with this deformity, this disability, "who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, 'Stand upright on thy feet.' And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of the Laconia, 'The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men.' They called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying and saying, 'Sirs, Why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Let's pray. Our Father, as we humbly bow before Thee and look at this setting that You have inspired Luke to pen and You have preserved for us this day in this new year, a true incident of what was taking place that we can go and have a glimpse of looking back at seeing You at work in other men's lives and how You haven't changed. You want to see men raised up. You want to see people with a burden for the lost. You want us in this new year to accomplish Your will and Your purpose. I pray, Lord, that You would use this message today to excite us, to challenge us, to seize the opportunities that You lay before us. Thank You for each and every one that's here. Ask, Father, that You would help us to have ears to hear this morning what the Spirit says to us on this Lord's Day. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. 2020. Wow. A year of opportunity to build. I think it's an exciting time to be a part of the church. We're living in some days that the Bible says are going to get worse and worse. They're not going to get better and better. They're going to get worse and worse. And we can get a glimpse of some of that already taking place around our world, in our nation. And yet God has put us here at this time, in this period of history, for a purpose. It's no mistake that you and I are not here during this time. God has still called us to be salt and light, to be fishers of men. In this setting, we see Paul and Barnabas going about doing their business, everyday activities. They're just walking about, and they see as they're getting ready to come into the church, into the temple, they see a man here who is lame. He's never walked before. From his mother's womb, he's never ever enjoyed doing what I'm doing. He's never been able to go out as a kid and run and play with his friends. And there as he sits there, Jesus or Paul looks upon him and sees that he has faith to believe. And Paul simply says, "Arise up." And the Bible tells us that that man leaped. This is a man who's never used those legs before. And he leaped and he walked about. I'll bet you he was like this. He was probably laying down, crippled, and they said, "Rise and walk." And it says that he went, "Whoa." And man, I bet you he was excited. I'll bet you would be excited too. I mean, when we watch our grandchildren go from crawling to walking, even in their walking stage, they usually hold on to a lot of things before they let go and take those steps. This man had never, he didn't do any of those things. He was excited about what God had done through some faithful men to him. And we ought to still be excited about what God's done for us. We still ought to be excited about our salvation, that God has now made us able to walk in Christ and to leap for joy of excitement. The people of God have got to be excited, and we're living in an exciting time to be a part of the church. This is a church that, by simply observing, this is a church that has a love for each other. That's always good, amen? Charity suffers long and is kind. And God is allowing this church to be a place where people love one another, where you can look back and remember the past blessings and yet anticipate God is going to do something still with us by His grace. He hasn't called us home yet. He hasn't called His church out. So it's a church where people love one another. It's a church where you have known past blessings. And it's a church where you've had some great men who have been here long before I was. I'm so glad that Brother Wallace is here today. I know he wants to get up and jump and leap and preach. But we were talking this morning, the outward man perishes. We just can't do some of the things we used to do. And God gives us the grace still during those times to be an encouragement and an example and a blessing and a light. It's a time to be a part of the church right now. It's a time to be excited that God's going to do something right here on this corner. I mean, have you ever thought about this? When God in eternity past knew who was going to, by faith, receive His Son, He also set aside a part of His creation, this little corner right here, and said, you know what, in eternity past, He's talking before the heavens and earth were even created, there's going to be a place, and a place that's going to be called Arlington, Texas one day, and there's going to be a little corner lot. And I'm going to plant a New Testament church right there. Where they will shine forth. God had already given this property for His glory way back in eternity past, and He already knew who would be sitting on it today. You see, I know that because God makes it very clear in His Word. He makes it very clear that there are things that He has ordained and nothing can stop Him from doing it. And there are things that God has for us. The Bible tells us that you're saved by grace through faith. That not of yourselves is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Correct? We don't get saved by works. But He goes on to say, for we are His workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus. Listen to what it says. Unto good works. You see, you can't work your way to heaven, but after you come to Christ by faith, God says, now you're going to be having good works in your life. You're working because of salvation, not for salvation. Created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that you should walk therein. You see, God knew long before you guys even needed a pastor that I would be here one day as your pastor. And God already has all of these good works in store for us as a New Testament church. There's one here tomorrow. There's one here next week. There's one that's coming. All of these good works that He wants us to see and be open that He is real and He's a part of my life and He's got these opportunities for me to do great things for His glory by reaching people like Paul did with this man right here. It just takes one person reaching one person. That's all it takes. So it's a time to look forward, to look ahead into 2020 with great confidence that God is wanting to do something great through this work and that He's going to do things that are amazing. And it's going to come through prayer, it's going to come through fasting, and it's going to come through us being a light to those that we come in contact with. People need the Lord, folks. And God has kept us here to be that to them. So let's figure something here. Three things this morning. On a year of opportunity to build. What are the building materials? When I'm getting ready to, I don't build a whole lot of things, but when I do, I usually try to gather up everything so I have everything there, the lumber, the nails, the screws, whatever it may be. There are some building materials that God has for us as a New Testament church today to build this church for 2020. The first thing is, let us build through evangelism. We kind of already begin to talk on that. Let us build on evangelism. It's interesting that when Paul healed this man, the people of Laconia came together. The whole city came out and they were excited. And they thought that the gods, little g, the gods, because they were pagan in their belief. They didn't believe in the one true God. The gods are come down to us in the form of men. Well, they're kind of off on their teaching, on their theology, but there is a truth about that, that there is a God who came down in the form of a man. They just didn't know the right one. And so they get their oxen, they're bringing their oxen, they're bringing their garland, they're getting ready to make a sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas. They're getting ready to worship men because of one act or deed they did for the glory of God. And Paul corrects them. He instructs them. He teaches them. They go from wanting to make Paul and Barnabas items of worship to where some other guys come in onto the scene who have been persecuting Paul to, we're not going to worship him anymore. We're going to stone him. And that's how people are, folks. We can go from here to here real quick. I mean, the people that are saying, let's worship them, let's worship them, let's bow down before them. The next day, the next thing that we see, they're taking up stones and they're pelting Paul with stones to the point that he's going to die. Look at verse number 19. And there came thither certain Jews out of Antioch and Iconia who persuaded the people, having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. So they had taken up the stones, and this was a common thing in the day. It wasn't uncommon to see people throwing rocks at people for what they consider was a crime. So they stone Paul, and they grab Paul, and they drag him outside of the city, and they throw him across the city line, you know. And they walk away. He's dead. It says they supposed that he was dead. I believe that he was dead. Now watch what happens here. In verse 20, howbeit, the disciples stood round about him. The believers came as the other people that stoned him left, thought, we're done with this guy once and for all. They come and there's Paul laying on the ground. And they're looking at him and their hearts are heavy. They witness what just happened and they're looking at Paul. And they are supposing that he's dead. And all of a sudden, Paul begins to stir. And he begins to rise up and he gets up from the dead. Now, I believe that Paul was stoned. I believe that Paul was dead. And as the disciples gathered around his body, he rises and he surprises them. We need some surprises in our life, amen? We need to see some things that only God can do. We need to let the world know. Listen, we need to let the world know, just like Paul did on that day, and we need to let the disciples know that we are alive. Come on. You guys are acting like dead people out there. It's true. Even the disciples need to know that we are alive in Jesus Christ. No matter what we've gone through, no matter what has happened to us, we need to rise up from that situation and let everybody know that I am alive. And I'll tell you what, there are a lot of Christians who I believe are dead. When Paul wrote to the church at Laodicea, they were a dead group of people. And God tells us we need to be stirred by the Holy Spirit. We need to get filled with the Holy Spirit. And we need to manifest the fruit of the Holy Spirit so that even the disciples can know that I am alive in Christ. I am rising up and I'm going to go on. And I want you to notice, he didn't rise up complaining. He didn't rise up criticizing. He didn't rise up murmuring. He rose up to do one thing and one thing only, what he left off doing before they killed him. Go and preach the gospel to somebody else. Do you wonder if that's our only purpose here, huh? Yeah, we have to eat, we have to drink, we have to work, we have to... But you know, God put all those people around us to evangelize. There are people that I will never, ever meet that you live next door to, that you work alongside of, that God has placed around you to witness to and to evangelize. You see, only reason why this guy was raised up from his element was because Paul was there. God brought Paul to his situation and used Paul to bring this guy to faith in Christ. And there are people that are around us, and if we're going to build in 2020, we must build through evangelism. And evangelism is for the preacher, but it's also for the pew. Now, there's a variety of ways that you and I can evangelize. We can go out door to door. We live in different times, by the way. Things aren't always what it used to be. We used to be able to go out door to door, knock on doors. People would answer them. People don't want to answer doors today. And I don't blame them, to be honest with you. When I see somebody knocking on my door, I think, oh, goodness. You know, I don't like to be bothered. But I'll tell you what, when we go out, we can go out, if nothing else, with door hangers that have the gospel of Jesus Christ on it. You don't offend anybody at that point in time anyway. you don't bother them on their schedule or their time, and you can just walk up to that door, hang that thing right on the door. Oh, it says, no soliciting. Okay, I won't bother you. But I'll skip that one. I'll go to this one. I'll hang that on there. It'll be an invitation to Regency Baptist Church, a time of service, and they can flip that thing over, and it'll give them the complete eternal plan of salvation that they can read. Now, understand something. A dear friend of mine who was a missionary for a long time in Ireland, 30-plus years, his philosophy is this. If I cannot get the Word of God in their hand, it could be by way of a door hanger. It could be by way of reaching in and giving somebody a gospel tract. If I can't get the Word of God into their hand, God can't get His Word into their heart. But if I'm sowing a seed, and seed is only good when it's taken out of the barn, okay? And if I'm going out and hanging doorknobs, I don't know what's going on behind that door in that home. They may have just gone through a great loss. They may be having some hardships. I don't know. Paul didn't know when he came that that guy was there in his condition and his need. Evangelism is always just hitting who's ever there. We're not picky people. We shouldn't be picking and choosing. Salvation is for the sinner. Everybody that you meet qualifies. Years ago, when I was working at the chemical factory, I was put in a different area of the plant to be a part of the receiving. And there was a guy that would come several times throughout the year to deliver some of the stuff there. I to this day do not know the guy's name. The guy, everybody called him Big and Ugly. Now, the reason why they called him Big and Ugly is, number one, that's what he wanted to be called. Number two, he was big and he was ugly. I mean, this guy was pushing probably close to 6'5", 6'6", great big guy. And I'm not trying to be mean, so please don't misunderstand me. But he looked like his face at one point in time had caught on fire, and they put the fire out with an ice pick. He was just a really ugly man. And that's what he asked people to call him, big and ugly. The guy had hands that were, he had his fingers were, looked like they were as big around as my wrist. I mean, they were just big old sausage hands, you know, big guy. And I'm sitting there working the thing one day, and all of a sudden I see this truck back, and I said, it's big and ugly. I'd be like, good, not what I do with this guy. And the Lord says, share the gospel with him. You got gospel tracts stuck in there. Whenever they come up, I talk with them, I give them the gospel tract. He goes, give one to big and ugly. I said, no, this guy's not interested. You know what? I'm not the judge of that. Let them decide if they're interested in eternal life. Let them decide if they are interested in eternal life. I'm glad somebody let me decide, amen?
Right.
He gets out of the truck, he comes back there, and he's in a grumpy mood, you know, rah, 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 what are you, where's so-and-so? I said, he's gone, you know. And so I'm unloading him, getting him everything out, and the whole time says, okay, he's over there writing paperwork, and as he's coming back, I got him unloaded. He comes back over there, ready to sign off, and God said, give him a track, Kevin. No. Give him a track, no. He signs off, there, gives him. See, Lord, it's too late, he's already signed off. No, he's still right there on the dock. Go give him one. No. He jumps off the dock. See, he's already off the dock. I reason with God. I talk with God a lot on these things. He climbs up into his truck. And God says, Kevin, go give him the good news. And I yield to the Lord. I come out. And I'm hoping this whole time as I'm walking towards him that he closes the door and fires the truck up and drives before I get there. And I get there and he's even bigger because now he's sitting up in this truck. And I walk up there and I said, hey, big and ugly. And he turns around and he looks at me. He goes, what? I said, I got something for you. And I went like this. And that big hand come down. I don't know if he's going to pinch my head off or what. That big hand comes down towards me and it reaches and it grabs that gospel tract. He pulls it back. He looks at the front of it. And he opens it up. He looks down at me and he goes, no one ever gave me one of these before. No one ever gave me one of these before. I never saw him again. I went to Bible college. I pray by the grace of God that one day I turn around and there is big and ugly. I'll say, see, I told you guys. People need the Lord. And in 2020, they need them just as much. And you are called to evangelize, reaching people that only you will reach. We call it fishers of men, but I call it fishing in your own personal private pond. Your family, your neighbors, your kinfolk, your friends, your parents, your children, your grandchildren. We should be, God help us, to reach our own loved ones with the good news of Jesus Christ if they're not saved. We can do it by that type of an outreach. We started one when we were over in region, over in Fair Park, where we opened up our home and did Bible studies. You'd be surprised how effective and how easy it is to make some refreshments. Open up a home, and I've got dozens of DVD studies on the Scriptures. They're great studies to share with people and just invite them into your home once a week with refreshments and build a bridge to get them into the house of God. We call it in-house Scripture studies. There's missions. There's tracks. We're going to be putting a brand new track rack out here in the next few days. And I pray that it will be always a thing in need of more tracks because we're handing them out. So we need to build this year. Let us build through evangelism. Paul rises up from the dead. Look at verse number 20. It says, "Howbeit the disciples stood, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe." To do what? Verse 21, "And they preached the gospel." He lets nothing stop him. Nothing stop him. And may we in this year be used by God to reach people for the glory of God. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 9:16. May this be a verse that takes root in our heart. "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Folks, you can do it everywhere you go. How many of y'all go to the gas station? Raise your hand. Y'all get gas? You ever notice on the gas station they have these little signs up here, advertisement signs on the top of the pump? You know what those are for? Putting gospel tracks on. Yeah. The little metal frame, the little aluminum frame will allow you to slip a gospel track down and hold the bottom and slide it over to the corner and it holds it right there so the wind can't get it to where the next person who comes up and is putting money in their thing and they're clicking on clink. I mean, that's what you look right at. And there's the Word of God. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword that can pierce their heart and challenge them that they need to repent and believe the gospel. Evangelism is vital to our existence as a church. Let us bring people to hear the gospel. Invite them. Do you realize that 90% of the people that come to church for the first time, 90% is because somebody invited them? Invite people. This church next Sunday, if everybody invited a couple people to come, and if only one person, everybody invited, and one came for everybody else, this house would be doubled right now. Just because one person invited somebody to come. Live the message of the gospel. Share the gospel. Let us build through evangelism. Secondly, let us build through exhortation. We have evangelism, and now we have exhortation. Verse 21. It says, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and unto Iconium and Antioch." Look at verse 22. "Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith." We need to encourage and exhort one another. The confirming here means to advise somebody, to encourage them. This needs to be a place where you can come and be encouraged in the Lord by the brethren, by each other. Come alongside of each other. Paul taught that those who had received the gospel, the disciples, were also not just there to reach out to the lost, but to come back in and be an encouragement to the brethren that are here. We need to be encouraged in the Lord. We need to be lifted up. We need to be able to come alongside of someone and let them know we're with them and we're praying with them and we're praying for them. He encouraged all the believers. Notice what it says, to become greater in the faith. He uses the term to continue in the faith. Why do Christians need to be encouraged in the faith? I mean, we do. There's times when I need to encourage myself. There was a time in the Old Testament when there was nobody around to encourage David. And David says he encouraged himself in the Lord. We need encouragement. We need to be able to exhort each other, to challenge each other, to be a blessing to each other. But why? It says that he encouraged them or exhorted them to continue in the faith. Why do we need to encourage each other to continue in the faith? Look what it says at the second part of verse 22. That we, that's all of us, must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom. That we will through much tribulation enter into the kingdom. That means that there's going to be times it's going to be difficult in your life. There's going to be hardships. There's going to be pressures. There's going to be times of distress and affliction. Times that are going to be grievous to an individual or to a family or to a group. The Lord reminds us that in this world you shall have what? Tribulation. You're going to have times of grief and distress and suffering. But then He doesn't stop there. I'm glad the Lord doesn't stop sometimes. In the world you're going to have tribulation. All right, see y'all later. No, he says, but he goes, I have overcome the world. And that means I've overcome all of these things. But until we get there, because He's coming again for us, amen? The only reason I would have missed today being here would have been fatalities on the way over here. Traffic was pretty good. Or the Lord would have raptured us out. And that day's coming. He says, I will come again. But until then, He says, Regency, you need to build in 2020. Seize every opportunity. Evangelize those that are around you this year. This year. Exhort each other this year. Be an encouragement. Encourage your families. Encourage the leadership. Encourage the family of faith. Come alongside each other. Be an encourager and also be encouraged. And then lastly, not only do we build through evangelism and exhortation, is let us build through edification. Look at verse 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. They commended them. They encouraged them. But here we see edification. The word edification or edify means to build up, to instruct, to be beneficial, to uplift. That when you leave my presence or I leave your presence, we've left and we're better off for being with each other. That we have been a part of the other person to encourage them, to build them up, to not tear down. We live in a day and age where there's a lot of critiquing, murmuring, complaining, backbiting. It's usually done by the experts who don't know what they're talking about, you know. Non-participating. Refuse to be a part of the wrecking crew. When we bought our house in Benbrook 3 years ago, there was a little shack. And I'm saying it was a shack on the back of the property. There was a tree, an oak tree about this big around, it's huge, growing right up through it. The building was built around the tree. It was quite an endeavor. The guy that had built it, they were the original owners. We were the second owners. It was built in 1964. And as we were looking at it, the realtor said, so this thing needs to be torn down. And you walk inside, you say, it really needs to be torn down. The floors were buckling up. I mean, raccoons have taken over. And they use it for living and for toiletries and everything else, you know. And it was just a mess in there. They said, you need to tear it down. And everybody said, oh, man, look at that thing. I thought it looked cool. I look at things and say, wow, that's kind of like how I used to be before God did something in my life. I was a mess inside and out. I said, I'm not going to tear it down. So I get a hold of a preacher and a friend of mine. His name is Shannon. And he looks at that and he goes, oh, we need to fix this thing up. So we began to decide we're going to tear down part of this part here. We were going to tear the whole back half of it off. Then we said, no, we'll leave this half over here, but we'll just tear this part off, so that the tree can breathe and have some, you know, air coming to it. So So we get there and we're thinking, well, we can't do it this way because this beam is connected over here and it ties this together. If we pull this one out, the whole thing will come down. So we're trying to plot and plan how to do this destruction in a good way. And then we have another preacher friend that comes over that day. His name is Dan Knickerbocker. Dan comes walking over there and he's looking at that thing. He goes, "You're saving this thing?" Yeah. "What are you guys looking at?" "Well, we're going to take this half of it down." And Shannon and I are like this, talking about how we're going to do this. And next thing I know, Dan has a sledgehammer. And he takes it, and he goes, "Kawam! Kawam!" I mean, he started welding on it. I'm like, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" He goes, "Well, you're taking it down." He goes, "Not that, just this part over here, not this whole thing, you know." And Dan's good at tearing things down. I told him I was going to get on him. Man, that guy could have tore it down in just a couple more blows. But it wasn't a part of our plan. God's plan isn't for us to be destructive and to tear each other down. We're to build each other up. And we're going to need it this year. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring forth. We don't know what laws are going to go into effect in the United States of America that will impact your freedoms. They're already after them, folks, and they're coming. And by the way, they will win. They will win, but we'll be gone. Okay, we're going somewhere else. But they will win. And so we can see it, we can witness it with our eyes that things are changing, it's closing in. Now's the time to encourage. Now's the time to exhort. Now's the time to build. Now's the time to reach out and try to evangelize those people that we know aren't saved. You say, "Well, I don't know if they're saved or not." You need to ask them. If you died today and you stood before God, you're there before God and God says, "Kevin, why should I let you into my heaven?" What would you say? I talked to a young man when we were in New Hampshire, that same question. He had been brought up in church all his life. Good Bible preaching churches. And he said to me, to my surprise, "Well, Pastor, I have tried to be a good husband and father. I try to attend church. I. And I told him, "Alex, it's not about what you've done. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. If you can't say, 'I've trusted in Jesus Christ and Christ alone in His shed blood to cleanse me of my sins,' you're going to be one of those that says, 'I never heard, knew you.' Do you know Christ as your Savior today? If you can say amen to that." Then God has us here for a special purpose in 2020. Another year, another decade. What will happen at the end of this year that we can look back on and say, "God did that. And He used me. It's been a long time since God used me, but He used me." David said that they may know that this is Thy hand, Lord, that Thou hast done it. May God help us all to yield to Him as our Master. To say, "Lord, You're the potter, I'm the clay. What do You want me to be used for this year?" As we arise and build for His glory. It's a great year to build. The materials are evangelism, exhortation, edification. May we, by His grace, individually say, "God, here am I." Just like Isaiah did. Make Yourself available and watch what God will do. Let's pray. Our Father, we humbly bow before Thee and we thank You for Your goodness to us. We thank You, Lord, for another opportunity, another year. We don't know how much time we have in it. We don't know what's on the morrow, but we know who holds tomorrow. And we know who holds our hand. Lord, if there's someone today here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, may they begin this new year with a new life in Christ. May they call upon You and say, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and be born again." Perhaps there are those who have been saved, dear Father, who've never followed You in believer's baptism. They've never taken that public testimony that they need to be baptized. May they come with me later and say, "Pastor, I need to get baptized. I want everybody to know. I want to rise up as Paul did and let the disciples know that I'm alive." And may we have, Lord, great opportunities and may we seize them with those people that we rub shoulders with. on giving the gospel, sharing our testimony, reaching out to those that are without Christ, and encouraging and strengthening those that do. Use us, dear Father, in this year. Grow your work for your glory, spiritually, numerically, however you see fit. We trust it and we commit it into your name. You're the one who died for it. In Jesus' name, amen.